AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial. Pete Euler providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete to 342-6272.
What's your next dream? Paying off your credit card? Remodeling your kitchen? Exploring the rainforests of Costa Rica? Whatever your dreams, they take some planning. And State Farm Agent Pete Euler is right here in Emporia to lend a hand. As your local good neighbor, he can help you look at the things you want to save for and come up with a plan to make those savings goals happen. Because your money should work just as hard as you to achieve your dreams. So whether it's being free of debt or free to roam the world, call State Farm Agent Pete Euler in Emporia today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
KVOE News Time 826, Newsmaker 2 time, and we continue our legislative previews. The session begins Monday, and we have a regular voice here on our airwaves, but a very new position. It's Mike Argabright, who will be taking over the Kansas Senate 17th District.
Senator Argabright, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Ron and Chuck. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for taking some time to join us. Well, the 2025 Kansas State Legislative Session is scheduled to start January 13th and then adjourn on May the 6th. So have you been doing a lot of homework prior to the beginning of the session coming up Monday?
Ron, there's a lot of information coming at us, so, and that's a good thing. But so homework is not a problem. Well, there's plenty of that. And actually, I've enjoyed that, just learning different pieces of the structure and the process, and we'll continue to do that.
Speaking of what Brad Barrett, who's also new to the legislature, talked about here last hour when we had him on, the fire hose of information. For folks that don't understand how much new stuff you're getting, maybe fill us in as to really how much information you're getting here before the legislature actually officially begins its work Monday.
Chuck, that'd be hard to quantify, actually. A fire hose description is you hear that a lot in our roles as we're going through orientation and all the meetings, but that's a good descriptor. But when you think about all the pieces of Kansas business, there are so many intricacies that and people are very in tune to, and it's just a matter of listening to the different constituents or the different groups and why those topics are very important, and there's a lot of detail to it. So highlighting those and trying to frame those so that you have a point of reference and, most importantly, someone to go to in some of these cases to get the information is obviously very important. So it comes at us in volumes, and that's a good thing to know what's important to the different people and groups.
Again, talking with Kansas 17th District State Senator Mike Argabright on our legislative preview Newsmaker 2 segment this morning on KVOE. Well, something as far as information being heaved at you, Mike, there is a new budget process this year. As you know, previously the governor's office would introduce its budget recommendations within the first several weeks of the legislative session, and then the legislature would make alterations to the recommended budget during the next several months. But now a special legislative budget committee has been creating the legislature's recommendations as far as the budget prior to lawmakers arriving in Topeka. So how has that process worked, in your opinion?
Well, I wasn't involved in any of that, Ron, but the idea is to get some of the budget conversations in advance, and so that hopefully not reacting to the information after the state of the state as much, but there will still be some of that, and balancing those conversations and what those bills actually look like based on that. So I think the intent is very positive. Just to get a jump start on it. So maybe, you know, in the middle of January to the third week of January, some of the things that have traditionally been accomplished in that time, or some of those have been accomplished early. So, and knowing where some of those priorities are from a bill standpoint. So I know the intent is positive. We'll see how all that rolls out and if it was helpful within the, probably the first month of after we start meeting.
Speaking of that, what do you see as budgetary priorities? Your folks obviously know you the last close to 20 years as superintendent for USD 252 Southern Lyon County, plus your time at Eureka Public Schools here earlier before coming up to Southern Lyon County. So I'm assuming education is going to be at the top of the list for you, but I wanted to hear it from you. What you got here as priorities?
Well, Chuck, our children and our senior citizens are my priorities. So those bills that address those areas, I will be very in tune to. I think it's important. I've always felt it's important to take care of our youth. That's our future, and how we build upon that each year of their life is critical to not just Kansas, but this great country. So our youth is a priority for me, and then our senior citizens and making sure those people that have paid their dues over the years and they're trying to make it and trying to be comfortable in making it. And when we can help that group, I sure want to be at the table for those two groups. So those are my two groups of priorities.
What about expanding health care? This has been an issue that has been touched on with the Kansas legislature over the past, seems like, handful of years. But do you see any movement on expanding Medicaid this session, Mike? And what's your stance on that?
Well, my stance would be I'm supportive of that. And then after serving on the Newman Regional Hospital Board several years, any type of revenue stream is important because reimbursements don't always cover those costs. And Medicaid expansion won't save our rural hospitals, but it will sure provide an additional stream, even if it's small, for those hospitals. And I just don't think we can afford to continue losing hospitals in our rural areas. Well, that's one thing we have to have. And I circle back to our senior citizens and that's a group that needs to make sure they have health care available for them, medical care available for them. And that's in all of Kansas, not just our area. So I am supportive of Medicaid expansion. It's not just for hospitals, but there's some youth that are very challenged and needy and have some need some help and support there. I do think there's been some progress made, with the legislature on support and some of those gapped areas where people don't have health care. And so I'm appreciative of that. And I think you have to look at more than just an item like Medicaid expansion. You have to look beyond that. And I think they have done that. And I think they've built upon that. And I'm appreciative of that and their efforts in doing that. So it's always better to be in a proactive environment where you're looking forward and trying to solve some issues. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But if you're that environment is more positive than a reactive environment. And so, and if at the federal level, if Medicaid dwindles or is not funded, then we are going to be in a reactive environment, regardless of the expansion issue. But we'll need to be at the table if that happens, and we will if it happens. But I don't anticipate that right off.
When it comes to supporting rural hospitals here, Mike, and this is something that really started hitting the forefront about a year ago, but it sounds like the concerns have been starting to evidence themselves for a significant period of time before that. So what can the state do, absent Medicaid expansion, which, we'll be honest, looks pretty unlikely again here this session? What can the state do to bolster rural hospitals? Does that mean maybe a new line item here that's going to be maybe set up for those hospitals so that they can stay afloat?
Well, I think what probably one of the largest issues is just the reimbursement levels of services, and that's where rural hospitals get hurt a lot. And so if we can support efforts and reimbursement levels, that's a broader area than what we're talking about, and that would help support them. And that doesn't mean necessarily at the state level, but the federal level both, and how we work together to take care of our most needy population and people that don't have insurance. So I think that's where I would go right away, Chuck, with your question, is looking at reimbursement levels and how can we better support those rural hospitals.
And I think that would lead into this. I know that farming and ranching are very important to you, Mike. What about the possibilities of continuing to incentivize rural economic development as we try to combat the trend of population declines here in Kansas rural areas?
Economic development should be one of our number ones, and it should always be that case, looking at avenues to better our state, better our area, and keep our young families around. So those areas and opportunities, collectively, that's where I think when you have 40 senators, 125 representatives, we should be able to come up with some ideas to move on and look forward each year. And I think that's important when you go from corner to corner of each state. And definitely some opportunities in this area that we need to make sure that our support is there and that we're at the table for those, Ron. So, yeah, economic development, our number one industry is agriculture. So, and I think sometimes we don't remind ourselves of that enough in the state of Kansas. We have people out there working really hard to feed the world, and there's good people out there that their voice needs to be heard.
Mike Argerbright again joining us. He is coming in as the Kansas Senate 17th District representative as the start of the legislative session is Monday. One of the things that we talked really at length earlier here this morning with Brad Barrett was property tax changes. And the state has a pretty set list or really pretty set amount of property taxes that it can collect. How do you see the property tax conversation unfolding here? And what's your perspective on really why this is now the time to start working on reducing property tax burdens?
Well, Chuck, the at least for me, the number one, and there was not even a close second when you went door-to-door campaigning, is property tax. And so, you know, my experience is not unique. It's across the state. I believe that is probably the number one for most of those people that campaigning. And so what can we do to provide property tax relief? The biggest challenge with, not a challenge, it's what's real and what happens is most of that is a local control issue, and I do support local control, and your commissioners and your city and county and school boards, they operate under elected officials, and that's who determines a lot of those property tax questions, and the checks and balances is elections, and they're very sensitive to that, and I appreciate all of our elected people, but in long and short, property tax is more local than it is state. Statewide, it's used to fund our schools, and so we have to be sensitive to the services that our schools need and will need, and some of the property or some of the tax relief that was passed last session, I applaud all those people involved in that. First and foremost, we need to look at the cause and effect of how that starts looking after the 1st of January here before we react too quickly and get ourselves in trouble. But that is number one from my experience, is property tax. And so putting our heads together and seeing what we can do without jeopardizing our local control issues that those elected officials are responsible for.
We kind of touched on this a bit right at the top, and this is one of the items top of your list, and that is adequately funding Kansas public schools. You know, it's no secret that we here in this state have faced challenges with school funding for years, and you certainly are well aware of that. What about what we're looking at now as far as the state's education funding formula? Anything adjustments needed? What do we need there, Mike?
So within a few years here, that formula will either need to be renewed or revised or a new one. And I'm not advocating for a new one at this point in time, but I will be open to suggestions and ideas as long as our children across the state are funded and we're supporting our teachers and staff that do that every day. So that is coming to light, Ron, and it will. And I think over the next year, there will, I would assume, probably either specific committees, or they may even create a new one for the funding formula. I'm not sure. Talked about very briefly, but each chamber might approach that a little differently, and that'll depend on leadership a lot with that approach. But it will be an important item to everyone to stay in tune to, and funding our schools, our public schools, are very important, and taking care of our kids. And in most of our cities and communities and counties, that's, you know, the school districts are the number one to number three. Most of them are number one employer. So economic development, that is a piece of public schools, and investing in our kids to stay in our state is part of that process. So very supportive of that. There will be some issues coming up, Ron, with your question, within the next 2 years on either revising, renewing, or going to a different formula.
Well, Senator Argabright, let me ask you this. Have you found your office in the State House yet?
Well, I thought I did, and then when I went up there, it was a different number, and so I haven't officially moved into an office yet, and obviously the last couple of days has been we haven't had that opportunity. So I hope by the end of the week, Ron, that I've got stuff up there.
And we really haven't mentioned the fact that you're replacing longtime Senator Jeff Longbine here in Emporia, who, the way it sounded, especially as you started your run and then at different points throughout before you were officially elected, has been a big mentor for you as you get ready to officially launch here next week.
Well, first and foremost, Jeff and his family are just great people. They're, and he has more than just served the state and this area. He helps people when people need help. And so to say he's been a great help for me is an understatement. He has guided me a lot. He's hasn't let me fall down, but he's watched me stumble a few times already. So, but he helps a lot of people. He's helped me immensely. And that family, they're just good people, very appreciative of his service to Kansas, and he wants to help, and he still wants to be involved in ways that are very helpful, and I do appreciate that.
Yeah, we thank Senator Longbine for his many years of public service as representing the Kansas 17th District, as our state senator did a great job. Well, Mike, things get going on Monday, so what's the schedule like for you on Monday then?
So Monday is the swearing in, and most of our family will be there. That's kind of exciting because we don't always get to see them very much, but that's the main item on Monday. We do have meetings, caucus meetings on Sunday, but Tuesday we'll start right into committee meetings, and those meetings, for me, I was placed on the transportation committee. That was one that I requested, and appreciate that opportunity. That's right away in the morning. The next one I'm on is financial institutions and insurance, and I got assigned to judiciary, so that'll be a learning process for me, and then education in the afternoon. So okay. Looking forward to all that. Yeah. Very much looking forward to that.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate your time with us here this morning. We've always been in contact with you on the education side, and now we get to develop the partnership again here on the legislative side. Looking forward to it here this semester. Or I should say, talking about education. Looking forward to it this session, not this semester.
Chuck and Ron, I appreciate all of you at KVOE, and you keep everyone informed, and you're always very positive, and that's very much appreciated in the greater area. So thank you.
So, Mike, if your constituents need to get in touch with you, do you have an email, website? How will that work for you?
Yeah, MikeArgabright.com, MikeArgabright.com, and there's a link on there to get involved. And if you are interested in the newsletter, we already have a mailing list through the campaign, but in case we may have missed it, if you would go on there and sign up for the newsletter, that'd be very helpful and appreciative. So, MikeArgabright.com.
Well, Senator, thanks for your time this morning, and best of luck. We'll be in touch.
Well, thank you both. Have a great day.
All right, you too. That is Kansas 17th District State Senator Mike Argabright on our Newsmaker 2, Chuck.
Okay, and don't forget that tomorrow we continue our previews with House 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber. That'll be at 7:20 tomorrow morning. We also do have the ESU Buzz.